In John chapter 6 in your Bibles, as we read earlier, we're not going to go through the entire chapter of 71 verses, but we're going to kind of look at a couple of different things as the Lord leads us along the way. And it's a bit of a sobering challenge of yes, we're praising the Lord today, and I think we've made that a theme already, and how God intertwined even the singing and the special that we just heard. But I also know that we need to reflect on our standing as a disciple. If you'll notice with me in the verse, I pointed at it earlier, verse 66, which I think is an interesting, the way the verses were spelled out. There was no chapter divisions or verses when the Bible was written, but it's just interesting, this one fell at 666. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And that's the theme of the hour. Many of his disciples went back. I'm praying that God would challenge you and challenge me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the meeting thus far. We yield this time now in your word to you, and we thank you that we have a copy of it. Please empty me of self, fill me with your spirit, hide me behind the cross. Lord, help my mind to be clear. Help me to think only what you would want me to think on. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace in our life. Oh, Lord, I need to be a fervent disciple. Would you help me, Father, in that way? In Jesus' name, amen. If you look back at the beginning of this chapter, we find, and maybe you know this, and you've read through it, and you know that John 6, the beginning of the chapter, there's a large following. I mean a large following. Not just 12, not just a couple of hundred, but thousands of people. Verse number 1, and these things Jesus... After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Skip down, if you would, to verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company, so we have a great multitude, and now we have a great company come unto him. And he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And so this is a group of people that are somewhat in number. We have a guesstimate in number. In verse 6 it says, and this he said, Jesus said, to prove him, for Jesus himself knew what he would do. And if you'll skip down, if you will, verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Many people here, of us here today, maybe know or have heard something about the feeding of the 5,000. There's actually another record in the Bible of the feeding of the 4,000. Notice it says 5,000 men, so we don't know exactly how many people were there. We can guesstimate, some people have guesstimated, upwards to 15,000 people there. Either way, we know there were thousands of people there. We know there was a great multitude there. We know that there was, as it said, a great company was there. And he feeds them. And sure enough, they've been listening to Jesus preaching and teaching. And he takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and prays over them and does a miraculous feeding. And all 5,000 plus, we'll just say it that way, they went home hungry or full of food. They also had a lot of teaching to think about too. And there was so much left over. The Bible says there was 12 baskets full left over. Verse 13. You know, when Jesus does something, Jesus does something. Amen? And let's not limit God. You say, what do I have? Maybe all you have is a little bit. If you give it to the Lord, there'll be leftovers. Think of this now. That's not even the message today, but just let the word of God speak to you even as we're reading it. This unnamed lad who we're never going to know till heaven. What is his name? I want to meet that lad. I've heard so many sermons about that lad. I heard about him when I was a child in Sunday school, and now we're hearing about him again today. Who is this lad that gave what he had? God doesn't want what you don't have. God doesn't want what you and I don't have. God wants what we have. What do you have today? We all have something that we can give to God, and God will take it, and there will be leftovers. Again, don't look at what you don't have. What do you have? But the emphasis that I have on my heart today is that there's a lot of people around the Lord. Look at verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." He's going to walk on the water here in a little bit. We're going to read through that, but he's going to walk on the water. Fed 5,000 plus, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, walks on the water. Skipping down to where we read today, and we're going to jump back a little bit in a minute, but just stay with me if you would. Many, therefore, verse 60. Now we have another word that signifies a lot of people, but unfortunately, this time they're going the wrong way. Many, therefore, of his disciples. Now think about that word. This is not the 12 disciples, in my opinion. The 12, right? These are disciples, though. These are people that have been following, not just following him. They've been staying with him. These are people that go to church regularly. These might even be people every once in a while that read the Bible. Not in this day, but in our day, I'm talking. They might have read the law, the Torah, the prophets. But now it's saying many, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying." Who can hear it? We'll come back to that. The Lord Jesus started in this chapter with more than 5,000 followers. They listened to his teaching. He fed them. They went home. We just covered that. We have today in our service the beginning of a new year of ministry. Anchor Baptist always begins a new year, June, in the beginning of June. As Brother Pastor Yassine said, 25 years is beginning today. As I look back on 24 years of life, and you could say the same, you don't need me to tell you this, but I think if you'll follow along with me, God will show us something today. Much has changed in our country. Much has changed in Burnaby. Much has changed in Anchor Baptist Church. I don't say this to bring honor and glory to my wife and I, nor for sympathy, but we are the only ones here today that were here on the first service. That just means change. You can think about it however you want. I don't want to think about it in a negative way. I'm just saying there's a lot of change. We have a dear sister who's 94 years young. She lives over in Toronto right now. I'm saying this because she was here on that very first service. She watches, by the way, we spoke 2 weeks ago, and Sister Carmen faithfully watches our live stream, whether it be live or whether it be the next day or maybe later in the day. You might even be watching right now. I don't know. She was here on that day. I'm so thankful, though, that when we open the Word of God, we find that our Savior never changes. You may have someone in your life that you trusted immensely, and they have changed. And I don't mean for the good. Now, we pray for people to change for the good. Amen? For the Lord. But sometimes it goes the other way around. But I want to point you to Hebrews 13:8, and I want you to have that verse in your heart and mind, and I want you to be able to meditate on it, and I want you to be able to recite it if you haven't memorized it. It says, "And he said unto their Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." Jesus never changes. I'm thankful for that. We have a good God. Jesus Christ is teaching in this text and preaching about commitment. It is one thing to have a free meal. It is another thing to faithfully follow the one who will eventually be crucified. I'm speaking about what's happening in John 6. It's one thing to follow the Lord because God is doing something for us. Can I just encourage you today with this thought? God doesn't have to do anything for me. And I should still faithfully follow Him. Because you know what? God has already done enough. He has given me His Son, sacrificially, on the cross, bleeding and dying and not deserving any of it. And my sins were put on Jesus, and your sins were put on Jesus. And I don't have to have God do anything for me. He has given me the greatest resource, humanly speaking. I mean, this is paper, right? When I say humanly speaking, it was written by God. But I'm saying it's on print. It's in paper. There's no greater physical resource I have than this book right here. I mean, God has given us a local church. I'm just saying, as I sit here on this first day of the month, I don't need God to do anything else for me to be faithful to Him. He deserves my faithfulness. He deserves my loyalty. He deserves my commitment. He deserves for me never in my life to turn back. Many. What must it have done to the heart of the Savior? You know that Jesus lived in a human body, don't you? He endured hunger. He endured thirst. He endured pain. He wasn't Superman in that sense. He endured it all, yet without sin. Amen. But what must it have been for the Savior to be teaching and preaching and ministering, and many just watching them turning their back? And there they go. I believe Jesus, being God, even in a human body, was omniscient. The Bible even says that in our text. It said He knew who would betray Him. Jesus knows that many of these followers in our text are merely there for what they can get for their flesh. Jesus lays down the gauntlet and calls for every one of these followers to commit to Him and to Him alone. His call to commitment has a twofold outcome. First, it clarifies His call, His mission, and His ministry for those who would follow Him. Second, it purifies the ranks of His disciples, effectively weeding out those who are not genuine in their faith or commitment. We see in our reading this morning that Jesus clearly states the truth about Himself and His ministry. Thousands were there at the beginning of this chapter, but now many are walking away. And then the Bible says in our text in verse 67, and we've heard it before and you've read it before, Jesus said unto His 12, so now the 12 disciples are being challenged, will ye also go away? Would you go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, please? 2 Thessalonians 2. Thank you for the water. Whoever got that, thank you. Let no man deceive you by any means. You know, Satan is a liar. He has no truth in him. Not one even little droplet of truth is in Satan. None. Zero. And he would love to deceive you or deceive me today. By the way, this was written to a church. This was not written to the pagans. Pagans can get help from it. I'm just saying, ultimately, this was written to you and me as a church. We're not in Thessalonica. Well, I'd like to go there someday, but we're in Burnaby. And God is saying to you and me this morning, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. That falling away, it reminds me of John 6, where it says, many went back. It reminds me of, I think we get to it later, where Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We are told there will be a falling away, and maybe that's happening right now. I don't know. We are also told, if you would take your pages and just turn a little bit toward the back again, to 2 Timothy. I want you to know that as an under-shepherd, I'm thankful for 24 years, and it's only by the grace of God, and I love celebrating, and I'm for it. I love to have a good time, take pictures, all of it, get balloons, have a meal tonight, have some fellowship tonight, praise the Lord. I'm all for it. But you know, as an under-shepherd, it is so much of a burden on my heart that we would not be deceived and walk away. We cannot point at others and say, I would never do that. Please don't do that. You should say, by the grace of God, I could go any direction. But also, if it weren't for the grace of God, by the grace of God, we can stay faithful and true. Look what it says here, please, if you would, in your Bible, in 2 Timothy 3 and 5. Speaking of the last days, verse 1 tells us that. The last days, verse 1. But verse 5 says, in the last days, having a form of godliness. I think possibly these people that were following Jesus had a form of godliness. A form. Just like a shell. But it didn't make it to the inside. Paul said, from this form, but and you we deny the power thereof. He says, from such turn away. Turn away from this outside conformity to whatever man wants, this outside conformity to whatever the world wants, and have an inward renewal and know that it comes from the power of God, not from the way I conduct myself, not just in my flesh, I mean. You're told that men will have this. Let's go back to our text, John 6, please. We read something like that and we said, okay, that's coming later. But honestly, it's probably always happening in every generation. And I'm not saying that to be negative. It's just reality. Verse 60 says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Now, notice that word hard. We must understand this word. Now, it does not mean this. It does not mean hard to understand. Here's what it means. Hard to accept. Isn't that the case? Oh, my. I believe, that we're living in the same place today. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, praise the Lord, interceding on us. on our behalf. He's waiting for the signal. Go get my children. We're waiting for the trumpet to sound. Jacob, can you play that thing really loud? Okay. Get you one of them Jerusalem trumpet and Jewish trumpets. Shofar, I think it's called. Get a big trumpet and play that. No, we're waiting for that trumpet to sound and the dead in Christ rise first. We're waiting for that day. But I believe we're also living in a time where it's not hard to understand, but it's hard to accept. What does that mean? It means hard to obey. We are in a place not of not understanding, and yes, we are still learning. I'm not saying we don't want to continue to learn, but in many cases, maybe in your life and mine, let the Holy Spirit of God speak to you. You might be in a place this morning of just not willing to accept something that you know is right here. In fact, in many cases, we're just simply not willing to obey what God's word says. And Samuel said to Saul, hey, to obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. We are not willing to read God's word every day. It takes too much time. We are not willing to pray. It's too hard. We are not willing to put God first in our life. There are too many other priorities. We are not willing to be faithful to the house of God. We have other things to do. Birthday parties, sports, too tired, etc. When you miss church for something like that, you got to be careful now. You are saying what is more important or who is more important. We are not willing to tell others about Jesus. We're fearful of what they might say. We are not willing to tithe and give offerings. We cannot afford it. We are not willing to serve at church. I'm not saying you don't know these things. I'm saying we're not willing to. We don't have any talents. I could never sing like these three ladies did a great job, so I'm not going to serve. We're not willing to get counsel because we don't know what they will think about us. Do you remember what we said earlier? That the devil is a deceiver? We're not willing to give out anniversary invitations. We already talked about that. I'm saying this morning, if I'm saved, and I know I am, 9 years old, 42 years ago in April, I got saved, and I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ has never failed me. I've failed him thousands of times, but he's never failed me. I never want to turn back on my Lord Jesus Christ. I never want to quit. I never want to keep going. I might slow down a lot. I might have to sit down for a while. But I pray by the grace of God. And by the way, I'm not saying I'm capable of doing anything evil, and so are you. But I'm just saying, if you keep your eyes on the Lord and you keep your eyes on the cross and you keep your eyes on all that he's done for you, these things are just penniless. There's nothing. I mean, there's so much more we can do other than what I just listed. I'm saying we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. Why would we want to turn back? And yet we know that the Lord Jesus told us about the parable of the wayward son, who had it all. But he said, give me, right? If you ever read it, he said, give me. But you know what happened? When he wanted to come back to the Lord, I'm so glad we have a merciful God. When he wanted to come back to the Lord, guess who was standing out there looking over the edge, waiting for him to come back? It was the Father. And I'm telling you this morning, you might be away from the Lord in some area of your life. You can come back to the Father today. You are his child. You are secure in the hand of God, John chapter number 10. And maybe you've wandered a little bit away from God. Now it's time to come home. Now it's time not just to be sitting in something. It's time to accept it. Yes, it's hard to obey God sometimes. But the benefits of obedience far outweigh the difficulties of obeying. Satan is the master at providing you and me with excuses. Although the people who heard Jesus may not have understood everything, they refused to accept what they did understand. And we see the proof of that. This isn't something I'm telling you. This is something the Bible shows us, that their refusal was shown in the fact that they just left. If we only obeyed what we understood, we would have revival. Are you saying, Pastor Turner, you understand everything? I don't understand everything in this book. That's why every morning, by the grace of God, I want to open it up and read it. That's why, you know, the last couple of days, I've just had to take that Bible app and turn the Bible on in Psalms and just let that fellow read the Bible to me. The Bible will minister to you. It will revive your soul, revive your spirit in the midst of challenging times. We need to study and learn more, yes, but how about accepting what you know today? How about we accept it, meaning not just we say we recognize it, yes, that's truth, but that it makes such a difference in our life that we start living a different way. That's what salvation is. Salvation is not just a golden ticket to go to heaven. Salvation is a change of life now, a change of thinking now, a change of priorities now, a change of living now. This is what God does. Look, when the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in somebody, He's going to start cleaning things up, cleaning me up, cleaning you up, cleaning the house, you know, right? And He's not putting it out for a yard sale. He's just getting rid of it, you know, because He doesn't want anybody else to have it either. Yes, we need to study and learn more. Yes, we need to be diligent about that. But how about diligent about accepting it? We've read it several times, but the first word of verse 60 says many. Not some, not few, many. They were offended at what Jesus Christ was teaching them. I'm not going to read all the verses, but if you take some time and you read verses 52 to 59, it is some interesting dialogue there. Jesus is saying, you need to eat my flesh. You need to drink my blood. Jesus is not saying you need to have my body to eat. He's not saying you need to literally drink my blood. We know there are different groups of people today that believe when you take the Lord's Supper, it becomes the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's not true. It's a symbolism of the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. But what is Jesus saying? I truly believe what Jesus is saying is fully surrendered. Taking me in, my body, my blood, fully surrendered. Not just partway, not just halfway, not just on church days, but 7 days a week. Yeah, the Christian life is so fun. The Christian life is exciting. The Christian life is wonderful. It's joyous. I hope I would never want to trade it for anything else. I'm saying there's no greater joy than living for God. And I pray that I'll live for God in a greater way. I'm just saying, don't think the Christian life is boring. He's saying, take me in, all of me. Not just a little bit of me. And that's why it says, when they heard this, they said, this is an hard saying, not to understand, but to accept. And practice, because let me agree with these disciples. It is a difficult thing to do if we try to do it in our own strength and in our own might. But if we rely on the Lord, if we rely on the Holy Spirit of God, if we rely on the Word of God, we can be fully committed to our Savior. They were not expecting to have to be fully surrendered. They were not expecting to take up their cross daily and follow Him. By the way, he's worthy of these things. They were not expecting to hate father or mother. My love for the Lord should look like that. Doesn't mean I hate my mom. But if I love my mom more than my Lord, something's wrong. And I love my mom dearly. We're talking about being a disciple, not being a food consumer only. They were not expecting to forsake all and follow him. Would you go to 1 John 2? We're almost done. Thank you for listening. 1 John 2. I'm praying the Holy Spirit putting it all together for you in whatever way you need it today. Verse 18, 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out. Again, Jesus in John 6, it said, many went away. I'm just tying some verses together. The Lord's tying them together in my heart anyway, and I'm just sharing it with you. This can be exactly what's happening in Jesus' time. And John is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God about it happening again. So it's not new. I'm praying that we here, everyone here today, under the sound of my voice, hearing from the Lord, I pray, hearing from the Word of God, I pray, hearing from the Spirit of God, I pray, that you would not go out from us. I'm not saying in a literal sense, yes, we're going home in a little bit. You know what the Bible's saying here. They walked away from the Lord. Yes, there's backsliding. That happens. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about people that were never in. They had a form of godliness. Again, let's let the Holy Spirit of God put it all together. Why do we preach the gospel every service? Because I believe there's unsaved people in literally every service. Maybe they've believed a lie. Satan is the master deceiver, right? Some people are going to heaven because they prayed a prayer. That's not why I'm going to heaven, because I prayed a prayer. Muslims pray a lot of prayers, right? Some of you are former Muslims. You prayed a lot of prayers, but that's not how you're going to heaven. That's not how I'm going to heaven. I'm not making fun. I'm just saying. Prayer is an international thing. People do it that are as lost as a goose in a hailstorm. They're lost. Praying is just, it's words, unless you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. So you're not going to heaven because you prayed a prayer. If that's what you're depending on, you really need to check your salvation. Because Jesus didn't say praying a prayer was the way to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that's why we preach the gospel here at Anchor Baptist Church literally almost every time the doors are open, because I don't want someone to leave not hearing the truth. And it might be the one time that they're under conviction by the Spirit of God and they listen to that Spirit of God and they say, okay, you know what? I'm not saved. I need to get saved today. The Lord led me to admonish us today to strive not to be the many, but to be the few. Many left, few stayed. Would you ask the Lord to help you? May I ask the Lord to help me to be the few? Many went back. Many have gone back in 24 years. This breaks my heart. Many have gone back I pray that one day they will come to themselves. And come back to the Father. They don't need to come back to me. I'm a sinner saved by grace, folks. They don't even need to come back to a church. They need to come back to the Father. And the Father's arms were wide open. The Father is always waiting for the wayward child to come back. For some that have gone away, I believe 1 John describes them. They aren't even saved. For them, they need to repent and be saved. And the Father is waiting to save anyone today. They prayed a prayer, but it was only words. The Bible says in Romans 10:10, would you turn over there, please? I feel that I'm praying even now that God would help you and help us all put this together in your heart. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Notice that's with the heart. That's the seat of everything, and that's where it has to begin. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Notice that God is a God of order. Heart to mouth. These individuals that have gone back need to be saved, possibly. Matthew said it, Matthew's gospel. Earlier I referred to it, I'll just give you the reference. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 is part of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said that there's the straight gate and the wide gate. Would you go back to our text one more time? This is the last time that we'll be there. We'll end right here. John 6. By the grace of Almighty God, I need Him. I need Him in my life. I need His help every day. Would you, I hope, pray with me that we can all continue to walk with Him? And it's not a fatalist message, because God is victorious. Satan is already defeated. He's a loser, and he knows it. And that's why he wants to bring you down to his level and me down to his level. I'm talking as Christians. There's no business we have as being children of God to get stooped down to the level of Satan himself. We're victorious. We're on the winning side. Christ has conquered death and hell and the grave, and I'm waiting to be caught up with him, and I hope you are too. Look what it says in verse 69. And we believe and are sure. And we believe and are sure. I hope you can say that with the apostles of old. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Can you say this morning? Can I say this morning? Have you believed and are you sure? I say this morning, our God, our Father is worthy of our surrendered, dedicated, whatever we have, because He's given it to us, our life. Don't be part of the many. I'm saying, from our text, many, let's be part of the few that say, we believe and we're sure. We believe so much that on our worst day, we might be crying on the inside, we might be crying on the outside, we might be hurting from toe or top of the head to the bottom of our feet, but we believe and are sure that God is on the throne. We believe and are sure that Christ is coming again. We believe and are sure that this is the Word of God that ever liveth and abideth forever. We believe and are sure. And if I didn't believe and I wasn't sure, I'd go do something else with my life. And I'd tell you to do the same. But I know this is truth. And I know that God is good. So I would never tell you to do anything else. I would say the greatest thing you can do is say this morning on this first day of June 2025, anew and afresh to your Heavenly Father, I believe and I am sure that you are good. No turning back. No turning back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your great grace and mercy in my life. And oh, there's been times I know when my flesh has said, turn back. Turn back. Do something else. Oh God, forgive me of even thinking things about that. When I know and I am sure you are faithful. And that's all that matters. Oh God, help us. Help us to get a hold of this anew and afresh this morning. We would turn our eyes upon the Lord, look full in His wonderful face, and say, we believe and are sure. The world behind me, cross before me. Father, you are holy, you are righteous, you are almighty. We are so weak. And yet, you give us the strength to live each day saying, I believe and I'm sure. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know if you're going to heaven or not. Possibly when we talked about just praying a prayer, the Holy Spirit of God just really worked on your heart, because that's really what you're trusting in. You're not really trusting in Jesus. You're trusting in some prayer. That's you. I pray that when this piano plays in a moment and we stand, I pray you'll come. Let me just ask, is there anyone like that? You'd say, Pastor Turner, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter what the reason is, but you're saying, Pastor Turner, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? I need to get this settled. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Is there anyone like that? You'd slip your hand up. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Possibly there are numbers of us this morning, myself included, that we need to talk to the Lord in this invitation time. We need to thank Him and praise Him. Yes, there's a lot of things that have gone on in each of our lives, in your life and mine, and we do. They are real. They are genuinely challenges and burdens, but the Word of God even tells us what to do with those. We need to say we believe and we're sure. Because of that, because of God, because of your goodness, because of all that you have provided, whether you provide anything else, you provided enough. We believe and are sure. Heavenly Father, bless the invitation. I don't know everyone's heart. I can't see in the heart, but you can, Father. I didn't see anybody's hand, but there might be someone here who's not saved. I know we have some young children here that are still learning about what salvation is all about, and I thank you that they're here today. I pray you'd continue to do a work in their heart as they get older and understand more, that they would come to Christ for salvation. I pray for those that are of age and understand. There could be one, there could be, I don't know how many, even here this morning, that are not yet saved. I pray in this invitation time, they would say yes to Christ. And I pray for those of us that know you, Father. That we would say, I am sure and I believe that you are the Christ. I'm following you with my life. I don't have much, but I give it to you today, just like the little lad. In Jesus' name.